Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 25, and James chapter 1, verse 21. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then would you understand any parable? The farmer sows the seed. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seeds along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. He said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." James chapter 1, verse 21. "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." This is the word of the Lord.
There are many benefits to working at a seminary, and that's where I work from Monday to Friday, and sometimes Saturday. We have a stellar cast of teachers who are experts in their respective fields, and we all live together, so it's a nice little Christian community. If I have a question about Hebrew, I can go upstairs to the fourth floor and knock on Dr. Wang Fuguang's door, right? Or if I have a puzzling theological question, I can go find Dr. Robertson. I won't tell you where they live, okay? It's privacy. Don't go find them. I recently had a question about Hei Gong, Qi Gong, the Chinese exercise thing, and the Christian faith. And I realized that my next door neighbor at the office is a world religion scholar. And we also have this huge theological library with ample resources in both Chinese and English and long opening hours. And we're part of a community of spiritually mature Christians. We're not just one or two people, but everyone there is supposedly actively seeking God's will and trying to be faithful to our calling. If you're serious about deepening your faith or are interested in pursuing theological education, it would be difficult to find a better place or more ideal place in Hong Kong. However, I also believe that the seminary can be a very dangerous place. If we're not careful, we can foster a sense of pride or an elitist attitude when it comes to faith. We can become cynical when we force our unrealistic expectations on existing churches and leaders without realizing that it is by God's mercy that we ourselves are changed, and that our views and our attributes have been transformed because of God's mercy. Or sometimes we can lose our balance in terms of caring for family, or maybe our own spiritual or mental health in the name of study or ministry. However, the most dangerous thing about the seminary I want to share with you today has to do with our passage. And it is the danger of being numb to the Word of God. Okay? So it's the danger of being numb to the Word of God. We have three chapels a week at the seminary, and there's a sermon preached at every chapel, right? So if you count the sermon that you listen to on Sunday mornings, that's four sermons a week. Our semester is approximately 15 weeks long, and we have two semesters a year. So you do the math, you add that up. Within one academic year, I personally probably have to listen to 120 sermons, not including the ones I have to listen to in class, right? So that's, you know, I listen to a lot more sermons than you do, I think. I worry that if we're not careful about how we listen, hearing so many sermons will harm us instead of help us. If you look at today's passage, a word that recurs very frequently is the word listen, isn't it? Hear, hear. If we're not careful, if I'm not careful, there's a danger of our ears becoming dull and our hearts becoming hardened, so that seeing we will not perceive, and hearing we will not understand. I'm very afraid of the day when the Word of God turns into meaningless noise, white noise, and no longer able to have any effect on me, on us. I'm afraid of God speaking to us, and us not knowing that God is even speaking. That to me is truly frightening. But this is a real danger that the passage today warns us about. Alan read for us the passage today from the Gospel of Mark. It's the end of the parable of the sower. And in this parable, we confront the scary truth that even though the Word of God is powerful to effect change and even cause a harvest among those who hear the Word, it is resistible. I want you to think about that for a second. The Word of God is very powerful. You can resist it. Isn't that scary? Just because the seed has been sown, just because God's Word has been proclaimed, does not guarantee that it will do its intended work. I think that's an interesting way to think about it, but I think that's what the passage says. Jesus repeatedly urges the crowd, "Let anyone who has ears to hear, hear." In verse 9, verse 23, and other places, why? Why do you have to be careful how you hear? Because depending on how you hear, it will determine whether your hearts are able to receive the implanted Word of God. Right? So it's not just about me speaking or someone's preaching God's Word to you. How you listen matters. Right? How you listen matters. Depending on how you hear, that will determine whether your heart is able to receive the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that you guys are like this, okay? But there's some congregations in Hong Kong, you know, the whole time that the preacher is preaching, all they're thinking is, "Whoa, this is a terrible speaker." Or, you know, I have nothing to hear. Or, you know, "Oh, their tie is a little crooked," right? Or they're telling jokes that aren't funny. We have to be careful, because if you do not listen well, okay, maybe God is speaking and, you know, you're the heart that's turned to a stony path. See, in the Gospels, being exposed to Jesus, not only His words, but being exposed to Jesus' miracles does not guarantee that you will see God's work. Remember last week's sermon? You can have a big fat miracle sitting in front of you, okay, and you can still not see it. Remember last week's sermon? They see Jesus cast out demons, and what do they say? "Not hallelujah, this man is healed. Not hallelujah, you know, God's liberation is here." Okay. They say, "Jesus, you're doing this by the power of demons." Right? Remember the other time? Jesus healed someone's hand on the Sabbath. This guy's life is restored to him. What do they say? "Glory be to God, He's the healer." Nope. What do they say? "How dare you heal on a Sunday, right? For them it was Saturday, but how dare you heal on the Sabbath? Completely missing the miracle. Brothers and sisters, this is scary stuff because you can hear God's word and not really hear it. You can see God's work and not really see it. If your heart, if your attitude is set in one way, okay, and you're stubborn in your heart, not only will you not understand what God is doing, it could harden your heart further towards what God is doing. Okay? This is also, I think, very scary because the Word of God is not neutral. If God's speaking to you and you don't listen, you don't end up neutral, okay? It hardens your heart even more. See, if you think of the Exodus, you know, when, you know, Pharaoh won't let God's people go and there's all these miracles, you know, instead of saying, God, you are right and I repent, what happens? His heart becomes more hardened, right? What is intended to save him becomes his judgment. And this is a theme that is throughout the Bible, but especially in the book of Isaiah. I'm going to keep speaking to you, and if you listen, this will be your salvation. But if you refuse to listen, then you're going to lose your understanding even of what you know. Hearing the word of God many times does not increase your chances of receiving God's message. In fact, the more you hear, the more of a danger there is. Okay? The more you hear, the more responsibility that you have to receive that word. In Mark chapter 4, verse 24-25, it says, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you." Then listen to this. "For those who have, more will be given. And from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." Do you understand what Jesus is saying? Actually, let me read to you from a different translation. Okay, that brings out kind of what I want to tell you. The New Living Translation of Mark 4:24-25 conveys a meaning that I think is fairly close to what my interpretation of the passage is. Okay, listen to this. "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. And you will receive even more. But to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding that they have will be taken away from them." Okay, let me read that again. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Okay, so it's very important how you listen. Okay. Jesus uses the scripture of Isaiah chapter 6 in Mark chapter 4 to describe those who do not respond to his message. He says, To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those on the outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive." Right? This is what we're talking about. "That they will listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." In Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord commissions Isaiah to preach the preach to the people of Israel. It's hard to say, preach to the people of Israel. But because of their hardness of heart, they will not respond to the message. There's nothing wrong with their ears, there's something wrong with their heart. Okay? Throughout Isaiah, blindness and deafness are symbols of idolatry. And the reason that the people will not accept Isaiah's message is because of their idolatrous hearts. Right? The theology goes, you know, the idols have eyes but cannot see. The idols have ears but cannot hear. You worship what you become. I mean, you become what you worship. Okay, and so you worship the idol, then you will become like the idol. Even though you have eyes you cannot see, even though you have ears you cannot hear. What God intends for them is a message of salvation. But that this same message will now become for them a message of judgment because of their stubborn hearts. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, they cannot hear. Jesus uses this text to describe the people who listen to his message. Jesus' words are meant to be understood. They're meant to save. They're meant to produce a harvest. In chapter 4, 21 to 22, Jesus says, is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket? You know, do you put a light under a bowl and not on the lampstand? The Word of God has a purpose. It has a purpose. But it is not guaranteed. And that's what I want to say today. The Word of God is very powerful. You have to preach it. I have to speak it. But you have to listen. There has to be some sort of receptivity in the listener to God's Word. The efficacy of God's Word is dependent on the one who is listening and the state of their heart. And so Jesus, he concludes the whole paragraph with, anyone have ears? Okay, hold your ear. Okay, well then listen. As people who listen to many sermons, and I'm speaking to myself as well, this is actually a very stern reminder to listen carefully. Okay. So you know what I mean, right? I'm talking about spiritual listening here. Not just did you hear every word, but did you really listen? Because the frequency with which one hears the Word of God has no correlation to whether you will receive the Word. In fact, as I mentioned before, a greater responsibility is placed upon those who get to hear the Word more often. Okay, so those of you who have been to church for a long time, okay, you know who I'm looking at you. This is a message to you, and to me as well. It is a warning that if we ignore the Word of God as it is presented to us, even what we have, even what we know, can be taken away. Hearing is not the same as truly listening with a receptive heart. I think this goes also for our conversations with each other, to be honest. If my neighbor can speak 100 words to me and I can hear every word but still not listen, I think. But today I'm talking about this as it pertains to the Word of God. What does truly listening look like then? What does truly listening look like? Well, in the parable of the sower, the evidence... Actually, I'm not going to give the answer yet. So in the parable of the sower, there's many different soils, right? There's, the path, there's the rocky soil, there's the thorns, right? How many kinds of soils are there, do you think? 1, 2, 4? Okay, well, I'm asking a trick question, right? I only ask trick questions. I think there's only 2 kinds of soil. Because when the farmer is sowing seed, he's not thinking, okay, there's stony soil, there's thorny soil. He just wants to grow the thing, right? He wants to grow the wheat or the corn or the grape. He doesn't care what kind of soils, he just wants that. And in this whole story, there's only one soil, right, that receives the word. So the answer to the question, Yvonne, okay, is there's only 2 kinds of soil. One that receives the word and grows the crop. And all the others do not. Right? There's only 2 kinds. The evidence of a person who has received the implanted word is the fruit that he or she bears. Yeah, that's the evidence of your listening. Mark 4:20 says, and these are the ones that are sown on good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, even 100 fold. If it is the state of our heart that influences how we listen, the evidence of whether we are truly listening is through our actions. This is a very common Christian cliche, right? Be doers, not only hearers of the word. But I want to ask a very basic question in light of Jesus' parable. If we hear the word but have no fruits, okay, which kind of soil are we? Have we really received the implanted Word of God? Right? If we hear the Word of God, but there's no fruit, then what kind of soil are we? Right? Not the good one, right? Well, this is a question that we have to ask ourselves. And it is a theme that is repeated throughout the Bible. Curiously, Jesus says that the way to tell between a true prophet and a false prophet is not by his words, but by his actions, right? Offered to someone who speaks on behalf of God. So someone like me, maybe, who deigns to tell you what I think God is telling you, right? It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets. who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. Why am I using this passage? Because I think it's very interesting, because prophets are known for their words, aren't they? Right? Prophets speak the word of God. But Jesus says, don't listen to the words to tell whether he's from God. Look at his actions. Look at her actions. So interesting. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine, again, hears, but does not act on them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Right? So this is an ongoing theme throughout Scripture. In the other passage that Alan read for us from the Epistle of James, he admonishes his readers to welcome with meekness or humbleness the implanted word that has power to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look themselves in the mirror. For they look at themselves and then they go away and forget what they look like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Right? I think this is very interesting. Welcome with meekness the implanted word. Right? This is kind of James is teaching us how to listen well. Welcome the implanted word with meekness. Because otherwise, you know, when you listen to a sermon, you know, when someone tells you something, it's like you see something in the mirror, but you go away. Right? Or as my wife usually tells me, I'm very bad at shaving, right? She's always like, oh, yeah. Did you use the mirror? You know. No. But that's what this passage is saying, you know. Why even look at the mirror if you don't intend to change? Why come to church and listen to a sermon if you don't want to change? Right? It's very silly, right? It's a waste of time. The word that is implanted, right? Again, sowing language. Implanted in us is meant to produce a harvest of righteousness, producing in us a transformed life. This is amazing stuff. A transformed life in which our actions are blessed by God for the benefit of others. Whether we listen well or not depends on the state of our heart. And whether we have welcomed the implanted word is demonstrated by our actions, should be in one accord with the word which we receive. I have to constantly remind myself with Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He says this, he says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing these things, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Right? Again, that the motif of hearing, the theme of hearing. And so I have a grave responsibility because this stuff pertains to life and death. My teaching and those who hear, this is about life and it's about death. I have a responsibility to prepare and to speak well. And I try to do that most Sundays. But every time you come here, did you know that you also have a responsibility? Okay? This whole thing won't work if only I do my homework. Okay, you have to do your homework. You have to humbly, with meekness, receive the implanted word of God. This is something that I cannot do for you, but you have to do for yourselves. You have a responsibility to hear. Because listening to every word is not the same as truly hearing. My prayer for you and for myself is that we would never neglect what it means to be humble in terms of listening. And that we would learn to welcome the word of God for ourselves, even when it comes from unlikely places. And that the word of God will always find good soil in our hearts and transform us, make us anew, and maybe produce in us a harvest of righteousness maybe yielding 30, 60, 100. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. Okay. Before I end the sermon, I want you to hold your ear a little bit, okay? Anyone have ears? Okay, we all have them, right? Jesus says, let anyone with ears to hear listen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because we consider ourselves blessed by you because we have so many chances to hear your word. And Lord, we thank you for being the farmer that sows a seed upon our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us to listen well. And you would help us to see well. And Lord, that your seed, when it is implanted in us, would change our lives and produce a harvest that blesses many people. This is our prayer, and Holy Spirit, help us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.